Chapter 11 this morning, John chapter number 11. We've come to a very familiar portion of Scripture in our study through the Gospel of John. We've finished chapter 10, and we've come now to chapter number 11. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching down through verse number 46. John chapter 11 down through verse number 46. Let's read verse 1 and following. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That's important that that's in there, by the way, because of verse number 6 says, When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. See, they called for him. Their brother is only sick at this time. And it's interesting in the inspired Word of God that verse 5 emphasizes that he loves Martha. He loved Mary. He loved Lazarus. And right after that it said he stayed right where he was for 2 days. That's very significant. They want him now. He waits. But he wants the world to know he's not waiting because he doesn't care. He's waiting to do something greater. And he wants everybody to know before they read verse 6 and start asking, why is he waiting? Why is he not going? He wants them to know, I love these people. Beautiful, isn't it? Verse number 7. Then after that he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now get this. They are calling for the Lord. Lazarus is only sick. He's not dead. He's only sick. The Lord loves them and stays right where he is for 2 days and then says, let us go. And by the time he gets there, Lazarus has died and he's been in the grave for 4 days. I want to draw your attention to this phrase, 4 days already. And as I preach through this, this will make sense to you, and I give you my title. I preach to you this morning on this thought. When all hope is gone. When all hope is gone. Let's pray together. I share this thought with you. Father, I pray that you'll guide, lead, and direct us. Would you fill us with your Spirit and your power? And would you take your word and pierce our hearts? Lord, would you help somebody today? Thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 17, Mark chapter 11, verse 11, and Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we'll see that this home was a place where Jesus often resided. Jesus was welcome in this home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. But even though this was a home where Jesus was welcome and a home where Jesus was loved, sickness had struck this home. Trouble and heartache had come upon them, and a hopeless situation was developing. And let me say this before I go any further here, that just because your home is a home that loves God, and just because your home is a home where Jesus is welcome and he's resident there, he lives in your heart if he does, even though it's a place where you open your front doors and your windows and say, Jesus, please come in and be with us, that does not mean that trouble will never hit your place. And it does not mean that heartache will never hit you. Friends, we need to understand something, that God has never promised his children that sickness will never come. God has never promised his children that trouble will never come. God has never promised his children any greater promise than he gives the world as far as time is concerned, and that is this: you have the same promise as any unsaved person does, and that is Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. These people love God, and God loved them. But sickness had come to this place. And as I preach to you this morning on this subject of when all hope is gone, I want to give you three simple thoughts. And I trust somebody's going to get help today. Some of you are in here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, boy, I'm in a hopeless situation. You talk about when all hope is gone, that's me. That's this, that's that situation. That's a situation at work. That's a situation in my home life. That's a situation in my personal life. I don't know what it is. It makes no difference. What I'm saying, it doesn't matter if I know what it is or not. It makes all the difference in the world that Jesus knows all about it. I want to give you three things about this thought when all hope is gone. It'll take me a minute to get to the point where you see all hope is gone, okay? First of all, notice the message. You see this in verses 1 through 3. Notice the word therefore in verse number 3. Now, anytime you see the word therefore, look and see why it's therefore, okay? Their brother Lazarus was sick. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus know about the sickness of Lazarus? Yes? Yes. But they made sure that he knew about it anyway. He already knew. But they sent him a message because they wanted him to know what they were going through. Now, friends, this message is so simple it's ridiculous. It'll change your life if you'll let it. And may I say this to you? If you're not in a hopeless situation right now, at least one that seems hopeless, just hang on. Because life has its way of throwing things in our way that seems like there's no hope in this. And the first thing we're noticing is this. They sent the message to the right person. They had nobody else to turn to. They knew they needed to get word to Jesus. I put it this way. They didn't go to the psychic hotlines. They didn't go to the world for help. They went to the right one. They went to Jesus Christ. They didn't understand it. They didn't know why their brother was sick. But they knew they had the right one to get the message to. The Bible says in Psalm 18:6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. Psalm 107 verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Is there a problem this morning or a circumstance in your life that is troubling you? Is there something right now that you're it's right now in your mind, you're thinking of it right now, that is troubling me, that's bothering me, and it's sucking the life out of me, and it feels hopeless, it feels there's no answer to this. Friends, listen to me. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The first thing we see about this message on when all hope is gone is we see the message was sent to the right person. Secondly, let me talk about the master just a moment. I get this word master from verse 28 and verse number 3. Well, the Bible says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord. Look that word up. It means master. And in verse number 28, notice it. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come. There's where I get the master. We've noticed the message. Their brother was sick and they sent word. They sent a message to Jesus. They knew they had to get word to him. Secondly, we notice the master. I want to give you three things about him. When you're hurting, when somebody's sick, or maybe there's a personal sickness or a family sickness or a mental sickness or a heart sickness. I don't know what it is, but anytime you got problems going on, I want to talk to you about the master. Three things about him. Number one, under this letter A, we see his timing. This is where the title comes out here. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And verse number 17 says, then when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now get this. The sisters had done everything they knew to do. There was no hope. When they sent, right here, there was still hope when they sent the message to Jesus, because remember, their brother was only sick. There was hope that if Jesus would come immediately, They knew what he could do. So there was still hope in this situation. And when they sent that message, no doubt they were thinking, surely he'll come, surely he'll come, surely he'll come. And they sent the message and they waited. Day number one, Jesus still not there. Their brother's sick and eventually he dies. Jesus still not there. They put him in the grave. He's in there one day. Jesus still hasn't come. Day number two in the grave, Jesus still nowhere to be found. Day number three, surely he'll come today. Still no Jesus. I don't know. This is me conjecturing things, and you cannot put stock in that. That's why I'm telling you. I'm just thinking out loud here. But could it not be possible that they were thinking like you and I would be thinking? I thought he loved me. I thought he cared about my brother. After all we've done for him and how we've invited him into our home, and he doesn't come? I can't prove that. You can't really disprove it though, can you? I don't know what they're thinking. But what I do know is that when they sent the message, their brother was only sick. And by the time Jesus came, their brother had not only died, but he had been in the grave 4 days. What's the importance of that? There are no incidental things in the Word of God. We believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. Let me explain. We believe every single word is inspired by God. And we believe that God put 4 days in there to teach us a lesson. And he did. Because according to our study back in this day, according to rabbi teaching, the Spirit, now get this, back in this day when Lazarus died, it was being taught. Now you and I know this is not true, but the Lord knew this was being taught. Here's what was being taught. When somebody died, it was being taught that the spirit of the deceased person would hover around the sepulcher for 3 days. For 3 days, it would just hang around the tomb trying to get back in the body, trying to get back in, trying to get back in. But when the 4th day came, corruption set in. The spirit knew that there was no hope, and the spirit took its flight. Are you listening to me? Is that what happens at death? No. But Jesus knew that was being taught. And if he'd have come on the 2nd day and raised Lazarus, everybody would have probably just said, wait a minute, the spirit just found a way back in. If he'd have come on the 3rd day and resurrect, somebody there could have said, no, the Spirit just found its way in. But the day Jesus stepped in town, everybody knew there was no hope. Amen. The day Jesus came to town, the 4th day had arrived. And everybody who was even being taught this false doctrine knew the Spirit was long gone and there was no hope when all hope is gone. His timing. Jesus knew what was being taught, so he came on that very day. By the way, who'd he come to? He came to the two who sent for him. You'll notice he stops outside and Martha comes to him. He calls for Mary. Who sent the message to him? Mary and Martha. See, from the time they sent for him until the time he came, all hope had gone. All hope was vanished. I mean, hope had disappeared, and the sisters wanted him earlier, but his time was right now. His delay was not denial. Rather, we will see it was the tenderest concern for those around him. May I say this to you? His time may not be our time, but his time is always on time. His time may not be our time, but his time is always on time. Let me say this to you. You ever been praying for something like a hopeless situation, and you've been praying and praying and praying and waiting and waiting and waiting, and it seems like all hope has vanished since you've been praying? I mean, you had a little bit of glimmer of hope when you started praying about it, but you prayed about it for so long that all hope is gone and it feels like corruption set in and the Spirit's taking its flight and there's no hope. That's when Jesus specializes. That's when he comes to town, friends. His time. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. You ever been praying for the Lord to help in some situation he hasn't appeared yet? Just keep on praying and keep on looking, because he's always on time when he comes. Number one, the master's timing. Number two, the master's testimony. I like what he did here when he came to town. Look at verse number 23. Let's skip back up to verse number 19. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother not died. You ever been there? Lord, if you had just come sooner, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Then begins his testimony. I like it. No, I don't like it. I love it. Look at verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. She misunderstands him. We know that from verse 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. What did Martha think Jesus was saying? He's going to rise again in the future. There's a future resurrection day for God's children. That's what she thought he was saying. He said, your brother's going to rise again. She said, I know he's going to rise again at the resurrection of the last day. Notice what he says, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Right here in verse number 25, where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He says in verse number 23, thy brother shall rise again. I know he's going to rise again at the resurrection at the last day. I am the resurrection and the life. He's saying it is I. The whole person to restore, impart, maintain life resides in me. He's saying this, by whom shall he rise again if not by me? That's what he's saying. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You know what that word never means? You know what it means? It means not at all, by any means, in no case. That's what it means. That's one of the great assurance verses for the eternal security of Jesus' children, friends. What I'm saying to you, he says, by no means, at any time, by any case, will those who believe in me ever perish? We see his time. We see his testimony. He came when all hope was gone. His testimony is, I am big enough to take care of this. Then number three, under this, we not only see his time, his testimony, but number three, we see his tears. It's a beautiful, beautiful portion of the Word of God. This is a verse that all of us can memorize as we try to memorize Scripture together. In verse number 35, Jesus wept. You say, I can't remember a verse. If you can't remember that, you've got problems. It's a short verse, but what a message. What a message. See, in verses 32 and 33, notice this. Notice, let's get back in verse 27. She saith unto him, Martha, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Lord has come and calleth for thee. And when she had so said, verse 29, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly, Mary, and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. This is a tender portion of Scripture here. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Notice verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her, what? What's she doing? She's weeping. She's crying. And the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. In verses 32 and 33, I sense the Lord calming me down here a little. In verses 32 and 33, Mary has heard that Jesus is right outside of town. The one they had called for. The one that they wanted earlier. The one that no doubt in my mind, there may be a question mark. Why did he not come sooner? You know, what's interesting about people who love God, when he finally does come, and even though they don't understand, they still know he loves them. Mary gets up in a hurry. They think she's running to the tomb, so they follow her. And in verses 32 and 33, all she could do was fall at his feet and cry. Lord, if you'd been here, can you see her at his feet, falling down at his feet, weeping, crying, saying, Lord, if only you had come sooner, my brother had not died. And the Bible says the Lord saw her weeping. And when he saw her weeping, the Bible says he wept too. Now, there will be those who will try to teach you that Jesus was weeping because of their unbelief. And while I'm not going to do battle with any of these, I don't believe that. There will be those who try to teach you that Jesus was weeping because he's going to bring Lazarus back. I say hogwash to that, because what he's going to do is going to bring glory to himself. He wouldn't weep on something that's going to bring glory to himself. There may be some that says there was some sin underlying cause, and that's why he was weeping. Come on, friends. I personally believe, and I can back it up with Scripture, that the reason Jesus wept is because he cared. He cared about her. And he cared about her broken heart. And the Son of God cried with her. Glory that blesses my heart. There's a song, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades and the deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? This would apply to Mary and Martha. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? And the chorus says, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I'm glad to announce to you this morning, once again, that if your heart is breaking inside of your chest and you don't know what to do, send a message to Jesus. And in his time, with his testimony, and with his tears, he'll come to you. And he'll give you what you need. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. Aren't you glad God cares about you today? I mean, aren't you glad that Jesus is he's the Savior of the world, and when you cry as his child, he just cries with you. What a Savior. Hebrews 4:15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means with the feelings of your infirmities, those things that trouble you, it touches our high priest. He's touched by those things. He cared about Mary and Martha's tears, and he cares about yours. He cried along with her. And I'm glad to report that Jesus cares. Whatever you're going through, Jesus cares. If the only thing you can do is cry, Jesus cares. If it seems like all hope is gone, Jesus cares. And when they sent for him, he came, but it was in his time. It was with his testimony, and it was with his tears. That brings us to my third and final thing, and that's the miracle. If you know the story, this is a blessing to read about it, but let's read about it again. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. You ever doubted as a person who loves God? Let me tell you one thing I'm glad of. I'm glad God's not going to compare me to Martha. Amen. Maybe you'd lie. I don't want to be compared to Martha. And Martha's saying, wait a minute. She just said earlier, I know whatever you ask of God, he's going to give it to you. He says, take the stone away. Wait a minute, he stinks. What's happening? She's doubting. She's questioning. Ever been there? Sure. If you haven't, I want you to sign my Bible at the end of this church service. I'd like to get to know you a little bit better. Because you're better than the Apostle Paul was. You're better than Martha was. We've all been there, friends. Everybody's been to the point to where we know better, but we question anyway. We know God's up to something good, but we doubt and we fear and we question. Verse number 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. By the way, side note, here it is. If you're saved, he's praying for you. And he says here, I know you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by, said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now notice the word of God says he cried with a loud voice. That means he wasn't a sissy about it. He didn't say, Lazarus, would you please come out? The Bible says he said it with a loud voice. You want to hear a loud voice? Not going to do it. But I will pretend. Imagine it being a lot louder than this. Lazarus, come forth! Life had just spoken to death. And the Word of God says when he said that, and when he had thus spoken, verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, let him go. You know what this means where it says he that was dead came forth? It literally means came out the dead man. That's what it means. Who came out? The dead man came out. Glory, friends. Jesus performed a miracle when all hope was gone. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But notice this. This is going to help somebody right here. They never ask him to raise their brother. That was his choice. See, some people have the mistaken idea that if he doesn't resurrect the dead, he doesn't love you. That's not true. But if he so chooses, he can resurrect the dead. And if he does or if he doesn't, we have to trust him that his answers are always best and right. Do you need a miracle in your life today? Is there something or someone beyond hope in your life? Has all hope gone and vanished? Here's the message. Send the Master a message. And in His time, with His testimony, with His tears, He'll come to you. And if He so chooses, He can give you a miracle. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let me ask you this question here. What are you going through right now? Does it seem like all hope is gone? In a crowd this size, you listening to me? I don't live with you. I don't live with you, obviously. But I know in a crowd this size that there are situations going on. There has to be in a crowd this size. That there are situations going on that right now the Holy Spirit's saying He's talking to you. He's talking to your situation. Not Him. I'm talking to you through Him. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to that marriage. I'm talking to that wayward child. I'm talking to that situation, that personal sickness. I don't know what it is per se, but I know the answer. Send the Master a message. Someone said there are no hopeless situations. There's only people who grow hopeless about them. And in verses 45 and 46, you'll notice this. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. You know what it did? It caused a division. Some believed and some didn't. Some believed and some refused. And it's going to be the same thing in this auditorium this morning. You're either going to believe, send Him a message and trust His timing and rest on Him. Or you're going to just refuse and live in doubt the rest of your life. Give the Master a chance. That's this message. Decay had set in. All hope had gone. And maybe there's a situation that you're going through right now that it seems like decay and corruption has set in. It's starting to stink. I want to ask you, is it your marriage? Is it a wayward child? Is it a job situation, a family sickness, a personal sickness, a financial need, or something that nobody on planet Earth knows about except you and God? Think about that problem. Hope you don't have it, but if you do, think about it right now. Think about it. Get in your mind. Think about it right now. You got it? How is it in comparison to Mary and Martha's problem? He's dead. He's in the grave 4 days. All hope was gone. Only a miracle would do it. Here's the point. If He can do that, He can meet your need too. Amen. Amen. Will you send Him a message and patiently wait for Him to come? You may not get what you want, but you'll get God in His presence, and He can help you through it. How many times have we heard our preacher say, when trouble comes, he may remove it, or He'll go through it with us, and either way is just fine. How many times have we heard Him say that? And how true is that? As we begin to come to a close, you're not coming to a close, please. Maybe there's somebody here like Lazarus. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. I'm not talking about physically dead, but I'm talking about spiritually dead like Lazarus, and only God can resurrect you and save you and change your life. And what you need is the Master to call your name. And all He's waiting on is for you to call Him. Today could be the day of salvation. He has the power to give you a miracle. But the way the Lord spoke to me in this as I close, is it's not in the miracle that he performed. It's in the truth that he came. Whether he did a miracle or not, he came to them in their time of need, after they sent a message to him. Simple, right? Still works. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. Pray that you'll bless this. Help us, dear Lord, I pray. May your will be done. I'm going to be clean before you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I ask you this morning, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you confessed Him with your mouth? Is He your Savior? As they begin to play through softly, if you've never trusted Christ, today's the day of salvation for you. Is there somebody here today, say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. Or I'm not sure that I am. And would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I need to become a child of God. I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't know that I'm going, but I want to go. I desire to go. I want to be forgiven. I want God to call my name. I want to be saved. I want to be blood bought. I want to trust Christ as my Savior. That's my need. That's what I need to do. Anybody like that? I'm not going to come to your seat, but I would like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody like that? Yes. If you raise your hand, you can put it down. Maybe today say, Jody, I'm a Christian. When God laid this message on your heart, God had me in mind. There's a situation in my life that I feel is growing hopeless. You feel like maybe death is set in, corruption's starting out, and you feel like all hope is vanishing. Have you had something like that going on in your heart and life? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. You have something like that going on in your heart and life? Yes. Yes, that's several of you. You can put your hands down. If you raise your hand, I'm talking to you. The message for you is send the Master a message. Say, I've already done it. Keep doing it. He's not come yet. Keep calling out to Him. And in His time, with His testimony, and even if you're broken it with His tears, He'll come to you. He'll help you. And whatever He chooses to do will be the best for you and for His glory. I'm going to ask that we stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to be saved today, if you need to come and just talk to God, you come when Brother Gary begins to sing. Father, would you take it and use it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please, would you come now as Brother Gary sings? Come now, would you do it? If you need to be saved, you come.
Are you heavy hearted?
If you need a situation that just hopeless, send a message, go ahead.
Tell it to Jesus.
If you're preparing for baptism, I'd like to dismiss you now, please.
Grieving,
those that are going with
joys
you.
Departed, tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Let's sing another verse, Brother Gary.
Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus, for Christ's coming, kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus. us alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Thank you. Maybe seated. Let me give you a couple of announcements while we're dealing with these, and we'll have our offering and our baptismal service. Just three quick announcements. If you're a Sunday school teacher, remember this Wednesday night, 6:30, teachers meeting in the chapel. And then we have two special events. One of those, the deadline is today. The other one is not for a while, but just kind of heads up for you men. On November the 7th, our men's stakeout. How do you men like a good steak? There you go. And you've got friends and unsaved relatives and co-workers that do too. And this will be a great opportunity. Brother Scott Pauley will be coming to preach. And a time of fellowship for you men. We'll have some activities and things out at the farm. And at Mullins Farm there. And we'll have some grill up some steaks and give these men the gospel. It'll be a great time of fellowship. Men, you've planned for that. Be praying about who the Lord would have you to invite to that. And then the ladies, your special time is this Saturday, and a night to remember. And we want all of our ladies here in the church, 7th grade and above, to come. Today is the deadline to buy those tickets, and a special time of fellowship. Hope all of you ladies will come. The cost is $10. Tickets are on sale. I think Rebecca will be in the lobby. They're probably at the end of the Welcome Center. You get those tickets. Today is the deadline. Remind you, when you get a ticket, we are giving you a free ticket to give to someone who does not attend our church, someone who's a prospect, needs to be saved. And if you've gotten some of those tickets and you're not going to use them, please let the ladies know today. Otherwise, we're going to prepare for twice as many as come, all right? So that's very important. Make sure you get your tickets today. Be involved with that. All right, gentlemen, you come. We'll receive the evening or this morning's offering. Then we'll have our baptismal service. Lord, we do thank you for the encouragement from your word today. Oh, we are so grateful we have a God who cares. A God who created and controls all things. And yet, Lord, you care about me. And you care about my needs and my problems. And Lord, what a great truth. And Lord, we are so grateful that we can come to you and receive grace to help in time of need. And do pray for these who have come today, encourage their hearts. Help them, Lord, to receive help from heaven, I pray. And Lord, for these about to be baptized, we pray that you would truly help them to walk in newness of life. Ask your blessing on the giving now and those that give. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, this is Ariel Cowden. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Cowden, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. We're excited that the water's warm today, I think, okay? I'm excited about that too. Sarah Cole, proud of her. God bless you. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk. It's been done as the Lord Jesus Christ hath clearly commanded. And all God's people said, thank you for being here today. Let me remind you about the ladies' night out, the men's stakeout coming up in November. If you're visiting with us and you do have one of those visitor's cards, please take it out through the lobby, drop it off at the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you just to say thank you for being here. Please shake each other's hands on your way out. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Steve Mullins, sir, if you'll dismiss us, please.
God, you're good all the time. We love you so.